B2B marketing metrics that actually matter. Welcome back to a fresh episode of BreakingB2B.com. I'm your host, Sam Dunning. And if you want to join thousands of legends enjoying past podcast episodes, if you want to try out our weekdaily emails or apply to work with us, head over to BreakingB2B.com. So today, I'm joined by Vikash Kaushik. Vikash is the head of marketing over at Revenue Hero. We're going to be diving into the importance of metrics and measurements when it comes to your B2B marketing, the key metrics you need to keep a tight grip on. MQLs, SQLs, broken down. We can talk about using data over your emotion, making sure your website provides a seamless experience to actually convert those hard-earned traffic into leads. What's working for Vikash right now from B2B marketing and much, much more. Breaking B2B is sponsored by Revenue Hero. Did you ever fill in a website inquiry form only to wait hours or even days to hear back from a sales rep? Then comes the endless back and forth trying to schedule a time that works for everyone. It's painful, right? Leads slip through the cracks along with a ton of lost revenue. Revenue Hero fixes this painful process for B2B companies just like yours, allowing prospects to book a time on your sales team's calendar instantly from the website. Behind the scenes, marketing can even route qualified leads to the best sales rep for the job. Hundreds of businesses automate their request a demo or book a call workflow with Revenue Hero, including app queues, inflection, ultimate AI, customer IO, and user evidence. B2B marketers can see increases in up to 80% of qualified meetings booked. See Revenue Hero in action for yourself today at revenuehero.io. That's revenuehero.io, and grab a free demo. With that, welcome to the show, Vikash. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Sam. Man, I really need your energy. I don't know what you have, but it's crazy.
I don't know where it's come from. I think I've done three podcasts so far today, but I've just had a Diet Coke, as I often do before a show. It's given me that little hit I need to talk B2B marketing. So we never beat around the bush on this show, Vikash. Let's dive straight in. What is the importance from a B2B marketing perspective when it comes to measuring our activity?
I mean, like, it's crazy, right? Like, the last couple of years have been super crazy for B2B. Raising funds is now like super hard. Just everybody wants to now be like, hey, if I'm gonna run an experiment, I wanna know what the ROI for that is, right? Like, it's no longer like, hey, I'm gonna do this fluffy thing. It's not like you're going to go pitch this and you're going to get an approval for that immediately. People want to know, if you're going to run this experiment, why are we doing it? Will we get any pipeline from it? All that stuff. So it's definitely getting super hard from that perspective. So you need to be able to show to your manager or to the board and all the stuff, why you're doing something and whatever you're doing, what kind of impact is that having on the bottom line, right? Like the pipeline, how much revenue is marketing generating, right? All that stuff. So it's just become like super critical in today's world.
Yeah. I'm guessing like since whenever it was around 2020 or so, when it just became a lot harder, it's like you mentioned, to get access to funding, especially in the SaaS and tech world. Mm-hmm. Almost every dollar or pound when it comes to getting marketing buy-in or ad buy-in from your exec team, the owners, the founders, whoever is responsible for that revenue distribution is a lot more difficult than it was, say, a few years ago. So I guess, like you said, proving that it's going to drive a return is crucial. So we'll talk about that a bit more in a sec. But from a high level, as a marketer, a B2B company, or perhaps a founder, if you're running a smaller business, be it bootstrapped or similar, what are some of the key metrics for cash that you recommend that we keep a tight eye on?
I think I come from a school of marketing where, like, if you're not helping sales win deals and close more deals and win revenue, you need to sort of like make sure like you're actually doing that, right? Like that's like super critical, because at the end of the day, all that your CEO cares about, your founders care about, your board, everybody, all they care about is like how much revenue are you making, right? So the kind of metrics that I typically track, you have your usual suspects, right? Like you track your MQL, you track your SQLs, your op, your win rates and all this stuff, right? Like I think going back one step above over there, like, so for example, if you can start tracking things like your sales cycles, right? Like split them by channels, right? You have multiple channels, you're running campaigns across channels. What kind of sales cycles are you seeing in a specific channel, right? Maybe certain channels have like super fast sales cycles. If there is opportunity for you to, scale that up, you should be able to do that, right? Like, because you have faster sales cycles there, and especially if you're winning more deals over there, why won't you spend more there, right? Like, why won't you ramp up over there, right? So that's the very high level metrics, right? Obviously, then you want to go a little bit deeper, right? Like, so what sort of conversion rates have we seen from each stage to one stage to another, right? Like, so what's your conversion rate from MQL to SQL, SQL to op, op to close one, all that good stuff. And what kind of pipeline is each channel, each campaign driving for you, right? Because that sort of helps you take a decision on whether if a specific channel, if you should continue to invest in specific channel or campaigns, right? And finally, the big one, right? Like, what's your cost to acquire a customer, right? If your CAC is like super high, right? I don't know if it's like $10,000, but your ACV is like super small. Then you're actually losing out. You're spending a ton of money, but you're not making a lot over there. So that's like super critical as well.
Got it. Cool. All right, let's dive into that in a bit of depth. So high level, we want to help sales win revenue. Makes sense. We want to support our sales guys, get deals over the line so everyone's happy. So MQLs, SQLs, win rates. So marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads, win rates. From everyone's got their own point of view of what an MQL, SQL is. What's your definition over at Revenue Hero?
So we have this slightly different take over here. We do not count your newsletter subscribers, your people who attend webinars, those sort of folks as MQLs. Over here at Revenue Hero, the thought process is also that the more stricter your definition of MQL is, the better it is for you down the line, because it helps increase your MQL to close one conversion rate. I'll get to that a little bit later on why that is like super critical as well, right? Okay. But to your question on like how we define MQL, it's anyone who raises their hand saying that, hey, I want a demo, right? And they have to be an ICP. Right, they have to fit into our ICP category. Right. If these two are fit, they have to raise their hand and say, "Hey, I want a demo." Right, that's like super critical, and they have to be an ICP fit for us. Only then they will be an MQL for us. Only then marketing says, "Hey, these folks who just raised their hands saying that I want a demo, they are a marketing qualified lead." That's our definition over here at Revenue Hero.
Got it. So on the MQL, they've got to fit your ideal client profile to be classed as MQL. Is there anything you do like behind the scenes to actually kind of pre-qualify that?
Is there a process? Yeah. So when folks request a demo on our website today, on our website, across channels. So we have, based on the form values, that they've entered, We qualify them based on that, right? So, for example, at Revenue Hero, we work really well if you're using either HubSpot, Salesforce, or Zoho as your CRM. So we ask that on the form directly, and And if they fit, if they check one of those things, that would be a fit for us. And we'll also check what sort of what sort of company is coming into questionnaire demo, right? So that we haven't automated today yet. I think we'll get to that a little bit in a little bit. Today it's manual, that part. Our sales reps check out their LinkedIn profile and all that stuff, see if these folks are a reasonable size company, all that stuff, and then we get on the call to discuss more.
Got it.
But there's like a ton of tools for you to automate that part as well, right? Like you have Clearbit, you have Zoom Info. I think Apollo also now does a bunch of enrichment. So like a ton of tools for you to automate that side of things as well.
Got it. Okay. So there's a bit of pre-qualifying on the calendar booking tool so they can kind of specify in your case what CRM they're using. So if it's actually going to fit with your technology, or likewise, depending on what you offer your service or your product, you could have some pre-qualifiers within that to make sure that prospect that's getting in touch actually is a relevant fit. Nice. And that's MQL. What was your guy's definition for SQL?
So the meeting has to happen. A meeting needs to get booked and meeting has to happen. Once the first call happens, and on the call, when the sales reps identify that, hey, this prospect has a pain, they are serious about solving this problem. So that's when we say, okay, hey, the meeting has happened. So they are qualified by the sales team as well. So, yeah.
Got it. Nice. So they've had the meeting and they've been qualified by a sales rep on that. Cool. So sales cycles via channel, you mentioned you're splitting that up. I'm guessing in your case via a range of different paid channels or whatever marketing channels you've got in the flow. When it comes to actually defining that cycle, is there, I'm guessing some can be automated, some's manual from the sales team, some's from your end. Like how do you break that down so it's actually clear and it's well defined?
Yeah, so it's basically like how long are your prospects in that sales cycle, right? Like from the first meeting till the deal is won, right? So you have the first meeting, say on Jan 1st, and if you're closing the deal on Jan 30th, that's like 30 day sales cycle. So that's how we calculate it. And now you look at what sort of sales cycles you have, based on each channel, right? So it's not just paid as well, right? If people are coming in organically and people are coming in organically and requesting a demo from there, like what sort of sales cycles are we seeing there? If people are coming through referrals, if they're coming through affiliates, what sort of sales cycles are we seeing there? If there's super fast sales cycles in this one particular channel, is there opportunity for us to, can we scale that channel, right? The next question is now, okay, hey, there's like, we are winning deals over here, okay? Mm. And the sales cycles are like super fast, right? So for example, maybe organic as a channel takes a lot of time, probably, I don't know, 45 days, right? But your affiliates or partnerships, when deals come through those channels, it's probably just 18 days. Now, so you are winning deals through affiliates and through partnerships, and your sales cycles are super short. Now the question is, can you double that? Can you double down on that, scale that as a channel and win more deals? Because it's also super fast, right? So if the sales cycles are also super fast, that means you're making more revenue in a quarter, in a month. So that's how I think about it.
Got it. How do you assess that? Like, have you got a process for your team, whether something is scalable, something is not scalable, or whether it's worth kind of even continuing with?
Yeah, so I think with certain channels, it's like super easy, right? If you take paid as a channel, right? You're going after certain set of keywords. You know, there's only so much amount of search volume over there. So you can easily backtrack and say like, okay, hey, I know we are winning X number of deals from this PPC campaigns, right? And there's like only 10,000 search volume on this set of keywords. So now you can see, okay, if that's the search volume there, how many clicks am I getting? From the clicks, what's the conversion rate on the page? And on the page to what's your MQL, MQL to SQL, and so on and so forth, right? So it's relatively easy when it comes to certain channels like Google Ads and that sort of stuff. But the other channels, right? Like, for example, we are sponsoring this podcast. Podcast sponsorships, communities, those channels are like super hard, right? I think probably the easiest way, I think it's also super important for you to make up your mind why you're going through this channel, right? Like, because some channels, right, like for example, communities, you might not get direct pipeline from there, but you might have a lot of people talking about you in that community, right? That is also super helpful, right? So you need to figure out, like, why are you investing in that channel? Is it purely from a brand perspective, or is it from, hey, you are expecting pipeline from here? So the that is like super critical for you to like define early on. And once you have that figured out, then it becomes a lot easier, right? So sponsorships and communities, if it is a brand perspective, you're taking a brand perspective to those channels, then now it's about, okay, hey, are people saying that they heard about us either on the sales calls, or if you have a separate field on your form asking your prospects, like, hey, where did you hear about us? And are they saying that, hey, I saw you folks being mentioned on this community. I saw you were mentioned on LinkedIn by this person that I trust so much, right? So that's how you have to sort of like track that bit.
Mm.
I know it's not very as scientific as, say, probably Google Ads and all that, but I think that's probably the best way I've managed to do it so far. And by no means I've managed to crack it either. It's still like super hard. There's a lot of manual effort over there, so it's like super labor intensive as well.
Yeah, but I mean, brand, like you say, is always hard to track, right? So I think you've mentioned like doing the right thing. So if you've got like a "How did you hear about us?" field in your calendar tool booking, or if your reps are then asking on the sales calls, like, "What was your journey to stumbling upon us today?" and those kind of questions, and then diving in a bit deeper. If they said, like, "I did a Google search," you might just ask something like, "Was it only a Google search, or did you do something before then? Or was there anything that prompted you to take the time to fill out our calendar tool?" Because I know I don't necessarily take the time to fill out everyone's inquiry form. So if you're encouraging your sales team to dive a bit deeper, that's good. And then, like you say, you can always flag up certain keywords if they're spoken about, be it on a Gong call recording or whatever tool recording software you use. So yeah, finding ways to track, but then realizing that brand is and B2B attribution is messy as anything. So it's by far perfect. But if you're doing those
Even there, right? Like, it's like super hard even then, right? Like, so for me, what is like very contradicting is, like, everybody is saying, like, hey, B2B journey is like super hard, right? Like, it's like completely, it's not linear, right? Like, people keep saying that, hey, B2B journey is not linear, like, it's super messy and all this stuff. But at the same time, people are also like, hey, you just ask them on the form, and you're relying on that one answer on the form field to dictate your entire strategy, right? Like, and it's not like people are going to remember the entire journey either. Like, whatever comes to their mind at that point is what they're going to enter over there. So the way I also I think about the "How did you hear about us" field is like, it might not be the place where they heard about us first, but it is probably the place where they saw us, and that is the channel, or that is the whatever community or whatever, right, had the most impact in their minds, right? Because they were able to remember that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for channels like where people say LinkedIn, right? They might have seen you on LinkedIn. We use this, we use tool to sort of like figure out like what the journey has been for our prospects. People might enter LinkedIn, right? But I know they've also seen our Google Ads. I know they also read a blog post. I know they also saw our report that we published, right? But they entered LinkedIn because that's where they saw something and that had an impact in their heads that made them remember us, right? So it's still like super tricky. I still don't take the answers from that field as like, hey, that's the 100%, that's our ultimate source of truth, but that helps.
I think that's a smart answer. I've talked about this several times on episodes in the past, but we've had people on our forums that have put, how did you hear about us? Then they've put LinkedIn, or they've put something else, like maybe the email list. And I'll actually ask them when I get onto the sales call, and I'll say, oh, was it LinkedIn you found me? And they'll be like, no, I listened to your podcast for like a year. And then I checked out YouTube. Then I read an article. Then it was actually LinkedIn that I followed you. Then I decided to get in touch. Like you said, it's usually the trigger point, the last point they remember that they put on the form. So yeah, going deeper, using tools to assess and asking on sales calls and basically doing everything you can to try and make some kind of sense of the journey is a smart move. We've got to give a huge shout out to Factors.ai. In B2B, there's a few harsh truths. At best, only 4% of your website visitors convert into sales calls, and less than 1% of the outbound account list ends up making a purchase. By the time people request a demo or call, they're already late in their stages of evaluation. Smart B2B companies don't wait for people to magically buy. Instead, they expand their sales pipeline by tapping into intent signals. Factors.ai identifies prospects showing buying intent on your website, LinkedIn, and G2. Prospect into high intent accounts at the moment they're buying. Make it easy for your team to generate revenue and get more from every dollar spent. The best part, you can attribute and track everything seamlessly through the Factors.ai platform. Don't miss out, grab a free trial today and start maximizing your revenue over at Factors.ai. Okay, so we've talked about MQLs, SQLs, measuring by channel, looking at what we can, basing on the sales cycles, what we can ramp up, understanding what's actually there to drive sales pipeline, what's there from a brand perspective, conversion side of things. So customer CAC, customer acquisition costs, is there anything you recommend, bearing in mind customer acquisition costs and kind of average contract value over a year, is there any metrics we should look at to see if it kind of balances out, and are there any nuances to that?
This actually one thing that I wanted to get talk about related to that, right? Like, because most of the times marketing is like measured on MQLs, right? I think most teams also measure the cost per MQL, but I don't see a lot of teams measuring their what is their acceptable cost per MQL, right? This is like super critical, because you want to make sure your CAC is low and your ACVs are higher. And the easiest way for you to keep your CACs low is to figure that out a lot earlier, right? So you need to find what is your acceptable cost per MQL. And the easiest way to do that has always been, for me personally, so you have your MQL to close one percentage, right? So there's a percentage for your MQL to close one. And what is your ACV, right? So you multiply them. So if I have to give you an example, right? If your ACV is $10,000 and your MQL to close one is like super high, right? Like 10%. Right. So now your $10,000 into 10% is what, $1,000? That is your acceptable cost per MQL. Right. Now, every single channel, every single campaign that you run, right, as long as it is an experimental campaign, if it's an experimental channel, then that's fine. Right. But if you know you have certain campaigns that have been generating pipeline, that have been driving, deals for you consistently, now it's critical for you to ensure every single time an MQL is generated from those specific campaigns or channels, it's critical that they are below your acceptable cost per MQL, right? Because only then, now, if you manage to keep your acceptable cost per MQL less than 1,000 in this example, right? So if it is like $800, it is like an easy way for you to proactively know. It's a leading indicator for you saying that, hey, this is a channel where you are generating quality MQLs at a super low cost, right? And after that, it's all about ensuring either you maintain your other conversion rates, which is your MQL to SQL, SQL to op, and close to one, that is one, or you try to improve those conversion rates, right? So now your CAC reduces even further. And in that equation of CAC to ACV, right? Like you need to ensure your CAC is low and your ACVs are higher. Ideally, if your CAC is lower than your ACV, that's the bare minimum goal that you should be aiming for.
Yeah. Is there any, I appreciate this is going to be nuanced and this is going to vary depending on what the offer is, the ticket, the high ticket, like however much the ACV is, but is there like a certain split? So for example, I don't know, you've said for in that case, like we've got a 10K average contract value. And then let's say we are acceptable MQL is 1K. So we've basically need to close it within an amount that's less than 10 times, that takes less than 10 MQLs to make a one deal. Is there like, we can accept up to kind of five MQLs for one deal? Like, is there like an acceptance rate, if that makes sense, i.e. we want to make 50% as a margin. So we've got, maybe we've spent 5K to acquire that customer. The average contract value is 10K. So that's an acceptable closed one. We've made a 2X margin, if that makes sense.
I think from what I've seen, I think most people would kill for that kind of conversion rate, right? Like if you have an ACV of 10K and you have a CAC of $5,000, I think most people would kill for it. But I think adding to an already complex equation that we already have, right? The LTV over here is also like super important, right? Like you can't acquire a customer for $5,000 and say their ACV is $10,000, but if they're gonna and if they didn't sign an annual contract, if they're still on a monthly contract, and if they churn after 2 or 3 months, that's like you've lost money there, right? You've spent $5,000 to acquire them, but yep. They've given you what, 10,000 divided by 3, and like super bad, what, 3,000, 3,000? Yeah, 3,333, I think.
Yep.
You've spent 5,000 and they've given back only 3,333, right? And they've churned, right? So that's bad, right? So you have to add the LTV rate also to the equation for you to make sense of, okay, hey, is this going in the right direction?
Got it. Understood. Yeah, so take into account the lifetime value of a customer and bear in mind some may churn depending on contracts, get out clauses and stuff. But I think that acceptable cost per MQL, marketing qualified lead, is smart, because then you can get a basis from those other perhaps performance-based channels, be it paid search or similar. You can understand what's acceptable and then grow out from there based on what you're experimenting with. Cool. This has been a maths lesson for me.
and if you can manage to do this channel by channel, and for each channel, if you have like multiple campaigns, and if you can do this for each campaign, now you know exactly what's working and what's not working. But probably, of course, for certain things like direct customer channel, you know, the obvious channels where it's hard to measure, that's like super hard, where you don't know what's working, right? It's hard to pinpoint what's working and what's not working.
Cool, man. Well, let's before we wrap things up, it'd be interesting, I'm sure our audience would be keen to know, any marketing channels that perhaps have been successful for you in the past 12 months or so, and if you're open to it, maybe any that you thought would work well but perhaps were fails.
For most B2B companies, right, I think today LinkedIn has been like a super incredible channel for us, right? Just from a pure pipeline, driving pipeline perspective, it's been amazing for us. From a pure brand perspective, LinkedIn communities, all these have been like super helpful for us, right? Like, because there's something, I don't know what the product managers at LinkedIn are doing, but there's something about it that's like helping a ton of B2B marketers. And I hope it continues. I know they might change algorithms and stuff, but I hope they don't, touch wood. And in terms of channels that we thought would work but did not, what was pretty surprising personally for me was Facebook and Instagram as a channel didn't work well for us. Because for me personally, I know many marketers say, hey, it doesn't work for B2B in the B2B context. But in my previous role, it worked like amazing. It was like the best performing channel for us, right? And so when I joined Revenue Hero, that was the first thing I wanted to experiment, right? We experimented on that. We got some good deals from there, but it just didn't convert further down in the cycle, right? So that was pretty surprising for me.
What was it like? Low cost per MQL for the social leads, but they just for the Facebook and Insta leads, but they just weren't converting on the back end.
Yeah, they were actually pretty good deals, right? It wasn't even like junk deals or things like that. It was from companies that we know are B2B companies. We know they are using the CRM tools that we support and all that stuff. But a lot of folks just didn't have the kind of intent that the other channels probably give you, right? Because this is my hypothesis, and this is how we concluded it, right? Because Facebook as a channel, Facebook and Instagram as a channel, like people are just scrolling through, right? It's not like you're in the bed, just about to go to sleep, but just keep scrolling your Instagram just before going to bed, right? So there's no intent over there. It's hard to measure intent at that point as well. People saw our ads, they clicked on it, they found it interesting. Sure, they were like, yeah, sure, let me try it out. But there was no obvious intent for them to, okay, hey, I need this now, right? Like, measuring that was like super hard for us to say, okay, hey, this as a channel can drive consistent pipeline for us, right? So what ended up happening was we had a lot of no-shows. Over a period of time, we also figured out that sure, their company might have been like large enough, but like they had a lot of complexities and that sort of stuff, right? So it just wasn't the right channel for us at that point. I haven't tested it out in the last 6 or 7 months yet, so we might do that test again. One theory is also that maybe it's a good channel to stay top of mind, right? From a B2B context, it's a good channel to stay top of mind and then try to win them back, that sort of stuff. I know the folks at Metadata have like an extensive report around like how Facebook and Instagram as a channel works and all that, but sadly it hasn't worked for Revenue Hero yet. Maybe it will, but yeah, let's see.
Interesting to know. Appreciate you sharing. Now, the LinkedIn ads that you are seeing, or the LinkedIn channel that you are seeing success with, is that LinkedIn ads behind the company page to target ICP? Is there like any flow that you're doing that's a bit different, or is it quite a straightforward campaign?
I think one of the things that that we're doing a little bit differently is our demand gen marketer, right? Like he has this like super cool thought process. So you have this cool layer, right? Like I'm sure everyone who does LinkedIn ads does this, they have a cool layer, yes. But what we also do is we then split them based on engagement, right? So you have a cool layer, and then now you run it for a few weeks, a month, right? And then you're like, okay, hey, how many of these people that we ran ads to, how many of them engaged, and what is their engagement rate like, right? Is it like LinkedIn gives you this analytics of like, is it high, very high, medium, low, very low, that sort of stuff. So now you segment them based on this engagement data that you have and run very specific creatives based on that engagement, based on that engagement data that you have, right? So the creatives change based on the engagement data. The kind of offer that we give them differs and all that stuff. So I think that's pretty unique. I don't see a lot of folks talking about it, at least on LinkedIn. It's mostly, hey, have a cold layer, run ads for them. After a month, create multiple layers of retargeting. Yes, we also have a retargeting layer on top of that as well, but it's all based on the engagement data that LinkedIn is providing us.
Got it. That's useful. That's going to be useful for marketers there. Dabbling in the world of LinkedIn ads. Like you say, there's a lot. You've only got to scroll your LinkedIn feed if you're connected to tech marketers in the B2B space, and there's all kinds of conflicting advice on LinkedIn ads, be it no more lead gen forms or how dare you put a CTA for requested demo on your ad. So it's useful to know what's working for someone who's actually in the trenches. Before we wrap things up, Vikash, is there anything when it comes to actually, we've talked a lot about metrics, channels, what's working for you folks. Anything B2B marketers should consider when it comes to their website to ensure it's actually going to drive qualified pipelines for sales?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I spoke a lot about it, right? Like, what's a campaign and a channel that's driving conversions for you has a super quick sales cycle, right? And I think the So we recently did this report, right? And it was super interesting for me personally. So we requested demos on 1,000 B2B websites. 635 of them did not respond to us, right? We waited for a month. They did not respond, right? So we did not get any responses from 635 B2B websites. That was like crazy for me. And of the 365 that did respond, their average time to respond back to us was like 1 day, 5 hours, I think 17 minutes, right? And that's like super long, right? Like for most folks who are, you know, like looking to evaluate your product or your solution, your services, most of them have done their research, right? Like they've seen your website, seen your ads. Today, especially, people are talking and asking questions about you in multiple communities, right? So they've heard something about you from their peers. All they want at this point when they request a demo is, obviously, they want to see the product, right? If there's no trial or anything of that sort, they would love to see your product. And they obviously have some questions about the product, about the process and all this stuff, right? So at this point, the only thing when they requested a demo is to make sure you are able to put them in touch with your sales rep at that instant, right? So you want to make sure you have some form of scheduler. I know like you're sponsoring this and all that stuff, but it just makes sense, right? Like people are coming to you saying that, hey, I want a demo of your product. Why wouldn't you let them talk to your sales rep, right? Like, why wouldn't you let them, schedule a demo with your sales rep at that point? So that feels like a super low hanging fruit for most folks, right? And again, going back to the sales cycle, right? It's like, instead of going through that email ping pong of like, hey, are you available this time? Are you available at that time and all that stuff? It's just one click for your prospects, right? It's a good buying experience for them as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, we're on the same page. I mean, we're even a service provider, not necessarily a SaaS tool, but we're still the same. We want to make it easy for folks that visit our website to book time with us and not mess around. And like you say, like we've interviewed probably 350 or so B2B marketing execs on this show and founders, and pretty much what you say resonates. So most of those have told me that if they're landing on a B2B site, they want it to load quickly. They want to quickly see exactly what you do or how you help or the problem you fix, understand the product in action. So whether that's screenshots, a demo, product tour, whatever, they want to see how much it costs. So they want to check they can actually afford your offer, see some kind of pricing there. They want to check some proof of results, case studies, testimonials, review videos, accreditations, G2 badges, etc. They want to get some of their questions answered. So maybe you've got FAQ sections on your service pages, product pages, etc. And if you check all those boxes, which isn't a big thing to ask, like you mentioned there, they want to make a nice and easy way for them to book time with a sale with a sales expert and not go through that annoying back and forth or being qualified via email with 105 questions. Just make it easy for them, because after all, we just get annoyed. It's not going to take much for us to get frustrated and head to a competitor that's going to be willing to be transparent and give us a better experience. So appreciate you coming on, Vikash. Appreciate you sharing this, your wisdom in the trenches of B2B marketing with myself and the audience. So with that, please do, you've alluded it to there, but please do tell us more about how everyone tuning in can learn about yourself, how they can get in touch with you, Revenue Hero.
Yeah, you can search for me on LinkedIn. I'm super active. I respond to pretty much everyone. You can search for my name, Vikash Kaushik, if you want to get in touch. And yeah, check out Revenue Hero. It's revenuehero.io. If you have any questions, just drop me a message. Happy to clarify anything that might have been confusing. Maybe I confused. I probably went a bit too fast. Maybe I can see some of you. If you have any questions, shoot me a DM.
Cool, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Sam. I had a lot of fun.
No worries, man. We've got to give a big shout out, not just to Revenue Hero, but also Factors AI. Appreciate them both for sponsoring today's episode. And as always, if you want to join thousands of legends enjoying past episodes, the daily newsletter, then head over to breakingb2b.com to check that all out. And with that, we should catch you on the next one for more no BS actionable B2B marketing tips. Appreciate you tuning in.